Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If there's a culture war, the religious right has started it. The religious right has this book that they're trying to make the world follow.
Shutting down government is unbiblical. Because government has a biblical responsibility to care for the poor, they're against poor people.
God told me that we are our brother's keeper. The labor movement is our brother's keeper. So help me God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are at Georgia Tech. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I got to tell you something. It's just a spanky spring here in Georgia. And we are going to try to talk to the kids about if they could ask God one question, what would it be? And I suspect one of the things that they're going to say pretty consistently, maybe, or at least more than once, why do bad things happen? Why do bad things happen? I'm guessing that is going to be on the mind of a lot of students, if they've actually ever thought about it before. Once again, please remember, you got to find yourself a fishing hole. You have to find yourself a ministry. A fishing hole doesn't have to be out on the campus. It just has to be where you are doing what you can do with the gifts that God has given to you. Please, once again, figure it out this week. Where are you? What do you like to do? What has God put in front of you? Now, how can you jump in and do your thing? Not my thing, but your thing. Make sure you think about that. Is it last time we were here, it was Earth Day. Today it's Smoker Day. It's really weird. It's very odd. Normally you don't see people smoking out in public. Today, everybody's smoking their little heaters as they go here. Dude, pull up your pants. Nobody wants to see your underwear. Okay? There's a little tip for you, young person. I know you think that it's cool. Nobody else on the entire planet agrees with you. Pull up your britches. Put on a belt. That's why they're called underwear. They go under your wares. All right, there's a dude walking here. I'm guessing used to be a lifeguard. Hey, young man, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Could I talk to you on the radio while you're walking?
Yeah, right, sure.
Keep going. Keep walking. I'll walk
all
with
right,
you.
Let's go.
Are you a lifeguard?
No, this is actually my dorm key.
Because you got that spinny thing going on with the Cessna lifeguards, right? How they spin their whistle and catch it?
Yeah, I'm just pretty bored.
What are you studying? You're pretty bored. Sorry for that. What are you studying here?
Mechanical engineering.
So let me guess. You want to be a mechanical engineer?
Oh, yeah.
Rock on. What does that mean?
I actually have no idea right now, but I want to work with cars.
Car you want to work with cars?
Oh, yeah.
But not repair them. You want to design them?
No. Yeah, just design them.
Make them better?
Yeah.
Make them
more
faster.
Efficient, yeah.
And you want to make them so that they don't pollute the environment.
Exactly.
That's a good thing. All right. Here's my question for you. Ready for a philosophical one?
Yeah, I guess
sure?
So.
Sure? You're up for it?
Yeah, let's do it.
If you could ask God one question, what would it be?
Let's see. I'll have to think about that one. Just why he lets things happen the way they happen.
In a good way or a bad way?
I guess good and bad, both.
Okay, so why does he run the world the way he runs
exactly,
the world?
Yeah.
What do you think the answer is?
I guess for him, I guess he just decides it for each person.
Do you think he runs it well?
To a point, yes.
To what point?
To the point up until the global disasters start happening.
The bad stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Who do you think God is? Why do you think these guys are wearing yellow headbands on their head? What do you think?
I don't know.
Very 70s, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all a little
right.
weird.
All right.
Who I think God is?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a person, so he doesn't really have a who, but what he is, I don't know. I just think it's higher power, higher spirit.
Okay. Do you go by any religious denomination or stripe?
Yeah, I'm Protestant.
You're Protestant?
Yeah.
Oh, so you would say God is Jesus?
Yeah.
Okay. So he is a person?
Oh, not anymore. He was a person.
Okay. So he's not anymore. What is he now?
Spirit now, I guess.
All right.
Exactly.
I want to ask you a favor. All right.
Okay.
I've always been intrigued by Protestantism. I would like you to give me a reason why I should become a Protestant.
A reason why you should become Protestant?
Yeah.
I actually don't know a reason why I should become Protestant. I mean, so I can't give away a reason because there's no reason that Protestantism is better than any other religion.
So why are you a Protestant?
Cause that's the way I was brought up.
So you just went with mom and dad's deal?
Yeah.
No, but you're an adult now. You're a man now.
Yeah, I'm an adult now. Yeah.
So are you going to stick with it, or are you going to find something better?
I mean, I'm not like forced to the religion, so I guess I can go with whatever I want, but I haven't looked yet, so if there's something better, if I feel like something's better, then yeah, I guess
you're going to jump ship.
No, not jump ship in a bad way, but
so I could maybe talk you into becoming a Buddhist today, is that right?
Yeah.
So I'm guessing you're not really convinced that Jesus is God, that Protestantism is the right religion.
I mean, there is no right religion.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. It just depends on what you believe.
Are they all right?
They're not all right, but there's no wrong. There's no wrong religion, I don't think.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It just depends on what you feel, what you believe.
Can I ask what your political persuasion is?
No, I don't follow politics.
Okay. Do you bend more conservative or liberal?
I actually don't know. Okay. I don't follow any of that.
Do you think Democrats are the same as Republican? Are they both right? Do you think communism and capitalism are the same thing?
I mean, they're not right in everything. Like some aspects, one political party is more right than others.
So wouldn't that be true of religion too, that maybe some are right, or one is right and the other ones are wrong?
I mean, you can't be right in everything. They're probably right in some aspects, and other religions are right in other aspects.
Okay, help me out. Logic me through this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Buddhism basically teaches kind of get rid of your desires. You get reincarnated, and when you finally lose any desires, you become connected with a great big nothing.
Right.
Kind of what they teach. Right? Hinduism has about 400 million gods that are carved out of wood or little statues that they put on their idols. Islam says that God is Allah, and if you somehow are able to die, perhaps in a jihad, then you can inherit eternity with 72 virgins. Christianity says only Jesus Christ is God, and you must repent and trust him. All your sins will be forgiven, and you'll inherit eternal life with him as a free gift of God. Now that's four radically different systems.
Yeah.
How can they possibly all be right?
I actually don't know.
Would it be fair to say that either one of them is right, none of them is right, but they can't all be right because they're contradictory? So if you had a little multiple test quiz, there were three options. One is right, none is right, but all can't be right.
Let's see. One is right, none is right, or all can't be right.
I mean, it would have to be one of those because there's no way they can all be right because they're all so different, right?
Uh-huh.
So the question is any religion right? What do you think?
I have to say no.
So you don't believe that your own religion is correct?
I mean, to an extent, it's correct.
All right, rudimentary question.
And then sometimes it could be wrong.
Do you think that Jesus is God?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a pretty good foundation.
Okay.
So that would mean all the other religions are wrong. Because didn't Jesus say that he's the way, the truth, the life?
That is true.
And every other system is an idolatrous system?
That is true.
Okay.
But then again, I'm not going to hate on the other religions.
Hit on them?
Hate on them.
Hate on them. No, that doesn't mean you hate them. It just means you disagree with them.
Right. But then again, my disagreement could be a disagreement with the other person who's another religion. That's why I say, like, to an extent, they're right to whoever you ask.
So let's say I came up to you and I said, I'm a Muslim. I mm-hmm. believe in Allah. I don't think that Jesus is God. Am I right or wrong?
Well, it'd be your opinion, so I'd say.
I know it's my opinion, but is my opinion right or wrong?
Well, I mean, opinions don't really have right or wrong answers.
Sure they do.
You think so?
See that statue right there?
Yes.
I think it's a banana. That's okay. My opinion.
Am right, I right your or opinion. Wrong? You're wrong.
There you go. So if I'm a Muslim
I never
and you
that.
Believe that Jesus is God,
I never thought of that.
Then I'd just be a wrong Muslim. I could be a very nice Muslim.
Yeah.
But I'm a wrong Muslim.
All right.
All right.
I never thought of it that way.
So you could fairly then say, based on what I know to be true, all other world systems are wrong. Based I have what? Got the right one. And everybody else in the world that doesn't believe that Jesus is God is wrong.
I mean, yeah, if I want to be like that. If I want to just say I'm right and I'm not going to open my eyes to anything else.
Well, let me ask you, what would it take for me to convince you that that statue is a banana?
Since I'm an engineer, you'd have to give me scientific proof.
Yeah, once you find the truth,
yeah,
you don't need to keep looking for truth because you found the truth.
Exactly.
And everything else will be wrong because you found what's true.
Yeah.
All right. Dude, thanks for the chat today.
No problem.
I appreciate it. You're a gentleman. Thank you very much.
What's this going on?
Wretched Radio is what it's called. Where are you going right now?
I'm actually going to study.
Okay, hold on. 1 second. Okay. Got to take a break. Sit tight. This is Wretched Radio.
How do I live in a world that hates me? If you find yourself asking that question, you're not alone. America is changing right under our feet. What's up is down, and what's down is now up. How do we respond as Christians to a world that's increasingly hostile toward us? Well, thankfully, God has much to say on the subject, and it may actually shock you to hear. God doesn't want us to reclaim America. He doesn't want us to impose our will on society. So, what does God want? Well, you can find out by downloading and watching our resource, Persecution, which is available now for a limited time for free. This 13-part series will carefully walk you through the book of 1 Peter, God's marching orders for living in an upside-down world. Persecution sets forth a biblical response to what's likely the most urgent question for Christians today. How do we live in a world that hates us? Download your copy of Persecution free right now by visiting wretched.org/persecution. That's wretched.org/persecution.
59 million people died last year from diseases like heart disease, cancer, diabetes. But the number one leading cause of death, its very own category of 42.6 million lives that ended, abortion. It is hands down the number one leading cause of death on the globe. And that statistic can overwhelm us and cause us to give up. But it should motivate us to get engaged, get involved, and fight for one life at a time. And we can do that through preborn.org/wretched. $28 buys an ultrasound. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. That is a good investment that saves lives. Would you please consider supporting as many ultrasounds as you can at preborn.org/wretched.
Improving your marriage. Becoming a better parent. Diving deeper into the truths of Scripture, learning how to see Jesus in the Old Testament, and discovering your emotions from a biblical perspective. These are areas where we all want to grow. The problem is, most studies on these topics are usually boring and irrelevant. But all of that has now changed. Seriously, it has, with Wretched's brand new Bible study curriculums derived from our resources Drive by Marriage, Drive by Parenting, Drive by Theology, Jesus Unmasked, and Stressed Out. You'll be able to dive deeper and actually enjoy doing so, which almost seems like a paradox these days. Until now, that is. Wretched's new curriculums. They're a terrific deal and a great way to start 2021. These are perfect for youth groups, adult Bible studies, or your own personal study at home. Find all the Wretched curriculum in one convenient location by visiting wretched.org/study. It's that simple. wretched.org/study.
Attributes of God.
Psalm 139 tells us that God is omnipresent. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. God is not only outside and above his creation, he is present in every place, seeing what is happening. This is a comfort for those who love him, but a terror to those who hate him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is it a banana or is it a block? What is that thing anyway, man? What is that piece of art?
Block.
What is it? Really? That is not a pretty piece of art. All right, we are at Georgia Tech. It's Wretched Radio, and this is Greg, the mechanical engineer, soon to be. What year are you, dude?
I'm a freshman.
You're a freshman. Yeah, so you got a long way to go. I asked you, the first question I asked you, well, one of the first, was why should I consider becoming a Protestant? If Jesus is indeed the only God, why should I consider Jesus? Why should I consider your way, which you believe is right? Give me a reason to follow this God of yours.
Well, for me personally, I would just say he's given me a great life. But if you ask someone who's homeless, I'm sure they want to give you the same answer.
Yeah. Can a homeless person believe in Jesus? What would their reason be to believe in Jesus?
Well, some could believe in Jesus and say that, or some can't believe in Jesus and say he's given me like a, you know, a crazy life. I shouldn't believe in anything. But then, you know, you can meet the others who have faith and say just because I haven't got anything now doesn't mean that he won't give me anything in the future. So that's why they're still hopeful.
So Jesus will give me stuff. Possibly.
Possibly. Possibly.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
I think so, yeah.
All right. I'm going to test you on that.
Okay.
Ready? How many lies do you think you've told in your life?
Good or bad?
Good or bad what?
Good or bad lies.
What's a good lie? It's like, what's a good rape? What is that?
That's true, yeah.
Deception is deception. If it does, it doesn't need to be like a whitewater break-in.
Yeah.
For political scandals or.
Yeah.
A lie is because it's about the heart.
Right.
Okay. Have you stolen anything in your life?
Not from a store.
Doesn't matter where it comes from. So it doesn't even matter what the value of the object is.
Not from a store. Yes.
Okay.
I borrowed from my brother without asking.
That's called stealing.
Yes, I did. I did from my brother, yeah.
Okay, so quick summary.
Yeah.
Is it fair to say you're a liar and a thief?
I guess so, yeah.
All right. Okay, this one should be really easy. Mm-hmm. Lust. Looking at a woman with a sexual thought.
Oh, of course.
That one was easy.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're an adulterer at heart. Because that's what Jesus said, right? If you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart.
That's true.
Because God sees what's going on inside of our brain. Have you murdered anybody?
No.
Have you ever been angry with somebody who's an idiot?
An idiot, how so?
Well, you know, you see them driving or you have dealings with somebody at a store and you just think they're a complete moron or worse, or you've maybe called them a bad name, flipped them off.
No, I haven't flipped them off.
In your heart, have you flipped them off?
In my heart, yes.
Okay. Because again, if God sees inside of your heart.
That's true.
Then it's not committing the act, but thinking the thought is the murder of the heart.
Yeah.
Okay. The question was, Greg, would you consider yourself to be a good person? And here's what we just uncovered.
Take those into account, then.
If you think about those things,
then
you'd be a bad person.
Exactly.
Okay, so you die.
I die.
God is just. He doesn't let criminals go. There's no cold cases with God. Everyone will give an account for everything they have done. There you are.
There I am.
Standing before God, all by yourself. Would he find you innocent or guilty as he examined your life?
I guess he would find me guilty.
So what would God do with you?
If I were God, I would look at the things he's done, things I have done, and then I would look at the bad things I've done, and then I would also look at the good things I've done, and then I would put them, you know, scale them, weigh them out, and see, you know, which one tops the other.
The old balance system.
Exactly.
All right, I'm gonna make you the judge then, okay?
Okay.
You're not God, but you're sitting on a courtroom, and I'm the criminal.
Okay.
And I'm standing before you, Judge, and it has become clear because of the prosecutor's case that I have. You name the crime. What crime have I committed?
Killed someone.
I've killed somebody.
Okay.
Okay, but I say to you, Judge, I know that I've killed somebody, but I want you to consider, I was nice to an old lady yesterday. I babysat for a single mom 3 days ago, and I gave some money to charity once, and I've always paid my taxes. I think you should consider that and let me go. Judge, what do you say?
No.
Okay. So
I think murder outweighs all that.
Well, because you're still balancing it, but really those good deeds have nothing to do with my criminal record, do they?
Mm-mm.
I mean, it doesn't no. Even if I gave $10 million, exactly, it's irrelevant. I've committed a crime. And if justice is just, and if God is righteous, regardless of how many good things you think you've done, mm-hmm, you'd still be guilty. And you'd still have a fine to pay. Right?
That's true, yeah.
So God knows you're guilty. You're standing in front of him. You've tried to plead your case. And ultimately, wouldn't that be bribery, in a sense?
Yeah.
It'd be like going, "Judge, I washed your windshield when I came in here." He'd say, what do you think, I'm going to give in on justice?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you what you deserve. Would God give you heaven or hell?
I guess I think he'd give me hell.
You're 19.
Exactly.
You plan on dying soon?
No, not soon.
You better not. Really? Yeah. You better look four times before you cross the street. Because if you got whacked, you'd be going to hell.
Yeah, I guess so.
Tell me what you know about hell.
Nothing. I know what I see in movies.
Is it a good place or a bad place?
Terrible place.
Why do you suppose it's so terrible?
I mean, I just know what I see from, like, you know, movies, books, pictures. But then again, I've never seen it. So it could be a good place. But, you know, if God sends people there for punishment, then I'm sure it's bad.
All right, I want to try to do something here. All right.
Sorry.
Okay, see that bar on that window? It's up about, what, mm-hmm, 2-3 feet?
Yeah.
Okay, that bar is you and me.
Okay.
All right, that's our sense of right and wrong. You and I have a pretty good idea of what's good and what's bad, right?
Okay.
And below that bar are things like lying,
yep,
and stealing.
Yep.
We think those are kind of bad.
Mm-hmm.
But we think raping a child is a horrible thing, right? Yeah. So that goes down even lower, okay, right? Now, imagine if that's our standard, that's how high you and I are on the morality scale.
Mm-hmm.
If we were up as tall as that building, now we're suddenly at that line about 10 feet taller.
Okay.
We've got a different vantage point now.
Yeah.
Now, as we look all the way down to lying, mm-hmm, now it's really disgusting and bad, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, because we suddenly have a higher sense of right and wrong, a better sense of morality. So before, we used to just think that raping a child was terrible, but now we see lying as a terrible abomination because we have a higher standard. So, mm-hmm, that would explain why God would send liars to hell.
Yeah, that's true.
We don't think it's a big deal because our standard's way down there, but God's, mm-hmm, standard is way up there, and his vantage point is way better.
Higher than that, too, yeah.
And so every little thing that we think is just boys will be boys, it's no big deal, mm-hmm, God looks at me and goes, no, you've got the wrong vantage point. I'm high and holy, and I must punish lawbreakers, liars, thieves, blasphemers, adulterers. So it would be right for God to send liars like you and me to hell.
Right.
All right, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, what did Jesus do so we don't have to go to hell?
Died for us.
There you go.
Yeah.
You deserve to get sent to hell. You've got a fine you can't pay. Jesus paid it for you.
Yeah.
You should get thrashed by God for what you've done.
Yeah.
For the lusting alone. Do you know when I asked you the first question? Do you know that you blasphemed?
What was the first question?
I said, tell me, if you could ask God one question, what would it be? And do you know that you took his name in vain when you responded to me?
Instead? Oh, yeah.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
All right.
I realize.
Yeah. God, for taking his name in vain and not thanking him for air and for the day, what he should give to us, wow, we deserve to be ground to powder, don't we?
Yeah,
but definitely. Jesus was punished on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
He took the punishment you deserve. The wrath of the Father was put on the just man, so the unjust man, you, could be forgiven and set free. The good man died for the bad man so that the bad man might be seen as good in the Father's eyes.
Right.
That's why people should repent and trust Jesus. So, dude.
Yeah.
Have you done that? Have you repented and put your trust in Jesus, fled to him for mercy because he is the savior of your soul? Not because of mom and dad or not because of a hope of getting stuff or because, well, overall life has been pretty sweet for me. But if you individually come to the place in your life where you've said, I'm not a good man, I'm a bad man, and I deserve your wrath, Father, have mercy on me, a sinner, and you've thrown yourself at the mercy of the judge without excuse, begging for forgiveness and putting your trust in his son, Jesus Christ, as if your life depended on it, have you done that?
No, I haven't.
So would it be fair for me to say, then, dude, you're not born again. You're not in a right relationship with God. You haven't died to yourself.
It's fair, yeah.
And right now, you're an enemy of God.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
And God offers
you... So that means I have to do something to become a friend of God.
Well, Jesus already did that for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't confuse
this. But now should
this.
I do it for him?
If you well, did it for me, you know what? You know what? That's exactly right. You know what? You're right. But not to get saved or not to get into a right relationship with him, but because he's willing to bring you into a right relationship.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. This is important. Okay. Does your backpack hold books in order to be a backpack? No.
No.
It holds books because it is a backpack.
Exactly.
When God saves you, you do good things not to be a Christian,
yeah.
but because you are a Christian.
Exactly.
Okay?
Right.
All right. I'm going to leave you.
All right.
You got something to think about today.
Okay. Yeah, I do.
All right?
Yeah.
Repent and trust the Savior.
Okay.
God right now has got you in his scopes.
That's true, yeah.
But he offers you mercy before you die. Come to grips with this. And if it's true, dude, there's no reason to delay.
Yeah.
Because this isn't a bad message. This is a good message.
Right.
He's willing to take you out of the griddle.
Exactly.
And make you his child. So turn to him, not because you're afraid of hell, but because he's been so kind to save you from hell. Radical difference.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Hey.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
You
See
too.
Ya. Goodbye. Study hard. It's Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. President Joe Biden rejoins the anti-Israel United Nations Human Rights Council, as announced by U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken on Monday through a statement, which reverses what former President Donald Trump done 3 years ago. He said, quote, "The United States will engage with the council as an observer, will have an opportunity to speak in the council, participate in negotiations, and partner with others to introduce resolutions." Breitbart reported that Trump withdrew from the council in 2018 after exhausting efforts for reform against its anti-Israel program specified in its Agenda 7. Blinken explained that the decision is out of perceiving engagement with the council and its members, quote, "in a principled fashion as the best way to improve it out of belief that when the U.S. engages constructively with the council in concert with our allies and friends, positive change is within reach." As per Breitbart, the U.S. will have until the end of the year as a non-voting observer status and is actually eyeing to become a full member of the council during its General Assembly while it works on establishing closer relations with the United Nations. It actually seeks one of the full member seats held currently by Austria, Denmark, and Italy that come for election this October when the General Assembly takes place. During the General Assembly, the United Nations decides in a vote to fill its 3-year term vacancies at the 47-member state council. The Chinese Communist Party has now found a way to make sure children will grow to hate God and force their parents to renounce their faith by brainwashing them as students. The CCP looks to be doing their worst by exploiting the field of education and brainwashing the children. According to the Epoch Times, students in China are groomed to have the, quote, right ideas and thoughts in school, which are in truth rooted in unbelief and atheism. An anonymous mother who is a Christian disclosed how her child seemed to be a different person after attending school. She said, quote, "Before starting school, I told my child about God's creation, and he believed it. But after being taught at school, my child is like a different person." In atheistic China, these pure and innocent children have been taught to hate God. As one of the most influential sectors of society, China and its communist regime use the schools to raise a generation who hates God and does not believe in him. Worse, the communist regime not only indoctrinates students with communist ideologies, they also threaten the children by enforcing state rules that detains any family members who attend church or visit religious places. In one instance, a child who found a Christian leaflet in their home got worried and warned his mother that, according to his teacher, Christianity is an evil cult. This kind of threat has forced families in China to deny or give up their faith for fear of harming even their children. In school, students are taught that any religion out of CCP's control is considered terrible, and the students even have a textbook entitled Morality and Society, which discusses evil groups. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Colossians was written by Paul to combat false teaching, which taught adherence to dietary laws and religious festivals, and claimed special knowledge received through visions. Paul argues that Christ's sacrifice and revelation are sufficient for salvation. When you are tempted to add to the gospel, remember, Jesus is sufficient, and you can trust in him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio. I'm a Georgia Tech. Dude, why are you wearing a suit? You got an interview? With whom?
I had an interview with two different people.
with the tutoring people. Are you a student here?
I am.
What are you studying?
Material science.
I don't know what that means. Could you explain it to me?
It's the study of creating materials. And I guess an example would be like concrete, all the additives that go into it, and how to give it the properties you want.
Okay. Do you think that you can create something out of nothing?
In a sense, we can take energy and create things from energy.
But energy is something.
Energy is something. So that would be your definition of nothing would be absolutely nothing? Probably not. We always take what's there.
Okay. Do you believe that we evolved or were created?
I would say evolved.
So nothing became everything?
I can't say.
Where do you suppose everything came from?
I have no idea. I don't really dwell on it.
Would it be fair to say that nothing had to come from something?
I don't know.
Because nothing can come from nothing.
I honestly have no idea.
And okay. I'm just trying to follow your logic here. If we can't create something out of nothing, mm-hmm. then how did something come out of nothing? Something would have had to create everything. So wouldn't it be more logical and consistent to say somebody created us?
I don't know, because you're assuming there's a creation to start with. I mean, who says that, first of all, there's a creation?
Well, this is the creation, right? We are the creation?
I don't know. I mean, it could be that time is indefinite in both directions, right?
Do you think we're here?
I have no idea.
Do you think you're real?
It's possible. It's also not possible.
Do you think you might be a giant stream?
That would be pretty cool.
Really? Okay, you know what? I'm not going to do it, but I think I could prove to you that you're real.
Okay.
I'm going to step on your foot, right? And you're going to feel that, and it's going to hurt. I'm not going to do it, but it would hurt, right?
Possible. Yes.
That's a pretty good indication you're here and it's real.
I suppose.
All right? So what we see is what is. This isn't an illusion. It's not a dream. It's very real, and you don't live like it's a dream. I mean, when you get scared.
Okay.
So how do you think we came from absolutely nothing? Wouldn't somebody had to have created us?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I'm not saying who it is, but somebody had to. There had to be something before there was nothing.
You're still assuming there's a start. I mean,
something can't come from nothing. So something always had to exist. So it's either the creation that always existed or the creator that always existed.
Okay.
It does not appear that you and I have always existed, nor the earth has always existed.
Okay.
There appears to have been a start. But for there to be a start and for stuff to exist, there had to be somebody or something that didn't have a start that always existed. Fair enough?
Very likely, yes.
Okay, so have I convinced you that we were created?
Not that we were created, but that there was something that existed indefinitely.
Who do you think that might be?
I don't know.
How's about God?
Okay.
That's an okay answer? Okay. Do you think it would be reasonable to conclude that we can learn something about that God from looking at the creation? I look around. I study stuff. If he made it, it gives me a little insight into what he's like.
Sure.
Would that be fair?
Assuming he created it, yeah.
Okay.
There's probably something in print.
Do you like it when bad guys are found guilty, because they definitely committed the crime, and justice is executed on that person, that the criminals get what they have coming to them?
Usually.
Could I conclude that sense of justice that you and I have comes from our Creator?
I don't know. It's an intrinsic thing, because everyone has a different sense of justice.
Yeah, so, to varying degrees, but overall we agree that murder's bad, rape is bad, lying is bad, lusting is bad. I think overall there's something pretty consistent inside of the human heart that says there are some things that are just bad.
But then there are also people who are, I mean, you could say they're mentally insane, and it is a medical thing as well as, you know, also a mental thing.
But they're insane.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, beyond the medical issues, there are people who just have very different senses of justice.
Right. But overall, we still have a sense. Our sense of justice might be perverted, contorted, wrong, misguided, but we have one.
Right.
And so does God.
Okay.
Okay. If God is just, and let's say that he opened up the books on your life to see how good you have been, whether you've been naughty or nice, what would God see? Have you been good or bad?
Both.
You've been both.
It's true.
Okay. So if you've been bad and he is just, what do you think God should do with you? Do you think God should reward you or punish you?
I have no idea. It's up to him.
Well, what do you think? I agree, it's up to him, but if you've broken his laws, then he should give you punishment, shouldn't he?
It's true.
That would be right. That seems to be fair.
Right.
I'm guessing you don't think that you've probably broken any of God's laws. Is that a fair guess?
I don't know. I probably have.
Have you told lies before?
Yes.
Stolen anything?
No.
Ever?
I don't think so.
Even as a kid, change, pocket change, candy from a store.
Not that
so
I
you've been good in that department.
Think so.
Tell us about lust.
Lust? Not particularly.
I mean,
there's nothing I can think of, but probably
you've never looked at a woman and had sexual desires or pornography and lusted.
Yeah.
Okay. So that would be a crime against God?
I don't know. I mean, that's... I have no idea.
Okay. Well, what do you think about a guy, for instance, who would go through a neighborhood looking into people's windows, peeping in to see them in their bedrooms? You'd probably go, kind of a pervert. Right?
Yeah.
Looking at pornography, kind of the same thing. It's just not going up to somebody's window. It's looking into the window of a computer.
But at the same time, you're violating someone's rights whenever you're in their window. But at the same time, the person has offered that pornography.
Right. It could be, but if somebody offered you drugs, does that make it right? No.
No.
Right. Okay, so just because somebody else made a mistake doesn't make your mistake go away.
That's true.
Okay? Have you ever taken God's name in vain? Do you know what that means? To use God's name in a bad way?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's the creator. He judges you. Right now, he drops you dead and you stand before God. Boom, you're transported right before God. Would you be innocent or guilty before God?
I have no idea.
Well, you've lied. You've lusted. You've taken his name in vain. Sounds to me like you'd be guilty.
Okay.
Doesn't it?
I guess.
I mean, if a criminal stands before a judge and he's broken the laws, he's guilty.
Right? Right.
Okay. What do you think God would do with you?
I have no idea. I'm already dead, so he can't kill me. But
your soul...
Yeah,
the thing inside of you that makes you, you. Your body's not you. Your suit's not you.
Suppose.
The soul inside of you is what makes you, you. What do you think he's going to do with you?
I have no idea. I honestly don't.
Oh, yeah, you do.
I mean...
You've lost it. You've taken it. Okay, God gave you life.
Mm-hmm.
And your suit, nifty suit, by the way, he's given you an education. Air to breathe. Every single time you wanted one, he gave it to you. And instead of thanking him, you... took his name in vain and blasphemed it and said his name in a bad way.
Okay.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's pretty low. People don't do that with Adolf Hitler's name. I never hear anybody say, oh, Hitler. But when we say God's name in disgust, imagine his displeasure after he's provided you everything that is good and kind. Not to mention the lusting. Not to mention when you were naughty as a child. Or when you weren't grateful for what he's provided for you, if you've ever complained and carped about what you don't have. You'd be guilty. If God is just, and he's good, and he punishes lawbreakers, a just judge would give you what you deserve, and that would be punishment. All right. Do you have a Christian background?
For a while.
What was it?
Middle school. No, elementary school. It was a Christian school.
Was it? Okay, so what did they tell you that God did so you don't have to go to hell?
All you had to do was believe.
In what?
Usually what they would say.
Right. In what?
They'd always point to Jesus is Christ the Savior.
Because he died to take the punishment you deserve.
Yeah.
God's wrath is aimed at you, but Jesus stepped in the middle, took the punishment you deserve, because you've got a fine. Your court case is one you can't pay the debt, but Jesus paid it for you. The wrath of the Father was put on the Son. The good man died for the bad man, that you might be seen as good in the Father's eyes, so that you can go to heaven, so your court case can be dismissed, so that you can be forgiven, because God is kind, and he's merciful, but he's also just, and he's got to give people what they deserve.
Okay.
You deserve hell, but he gave that to Jesus in your place so that you could be forgiven.
I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. Why wouldn't you trust that?
I don't know. Just don't have any reason to.
Jesus died for you. a sinner. Looking down through the corridor of time, he knew that you would lie and lust and take his name in vain. He knows you better than you, right? So every evil intention of your heart, every time you failed to be grateful, he knew it, but he died for you anyway. Can you think of a kinder act than that?
I'm hungry right now, so if someone gave me food, I would probably be pretty happy.
Really?
I don't know.
Better than dying for you so you don't have to receive the wrath of the Father.
That's possible.
So you'd rather have a sandwich than salvation?
Right now, yes.
All right. Mate, thanks for the chat. Appreciate it. All right, goodbye. I hope your interview goes well. Goodbye. Oh, boy. It's Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio.
Despite what all of the headlines say, there is some very good news happening around the globe. Jesus is still fulfilling his promise to build his church. Nothing is going to stop it. And right now in Eastern Europe, he is doing just that through the Tomorrow Clubs, kids clubs all throughout very poor Eastern European countries. And thanks to you, wretched person, more and more clubs are being sponsored, more and more kids are being saved, and more churches are being strengthened. Paul Marty from the Tomorrow Clubs.
Every time we visit a Tomorrow Club and talk to kids and leaders, we are blown away by the gospel's power to change lives. And the Wretched audience has been such a big part of making that possible.
Would you please consider sponsoring your very own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month. 30 Little Disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
How do I live in a world that hates me? If you find yourself asking that question, you're not alone. America is changing right under our feet. What's up is down, and what's down is now up. How do we respond as Christians to a world that's increasingly hostile toward us? Well, thankfully, God has much to say on the subject, and it may actually shock you to hear. God doesn't want us to reclaim America. He doesn't want us to impose our will on society. So, what does God want? Well, you can find out by downloading and watching our resource, Persecution, which is available now for a limited time for free. This 13-part series will carefully walk you through the book of 1 Peter, God's marching orders for living in an upside-down world. Persecution sets forth a biblical response to what's likely the most urgent question for Christians today. How do we live in a world that hates us? Download your copy of Persecution free right now by visiting wretched.org/persecution. That's wretched.org/persecution.
Yes, you're busy, but I suspect you could spare 2 minutes if it saved you $500 a month. Please call MediShare for 120 seconds. They will give you a quote on affordable biblical health sharing, an alternative to health insurance. You get free telehealth services, a huge network of doctors, customer support, people praying for you, and 400,000 members sharing one another's health burdens. That is what MediShare is about. And on average, you will save, whether you are a single or a family, $500 per month. It will take you 2 minutes to make a phone call and find out how you could be saving and have peace of mind. Got 2 minutes? Call 844-34-BIBLE. 844-34-BIBLE.
Know your church fathers. Origen of Alexandria was a 2nd century theologian who wrote one of the first systematic theology books. Origen observed that heretics twisted and misused scripture by taking verses out of context. However, he refuted them by reading the verses in context and interpreting them in the light of the rest of scripture. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday. The kid that I just talked to here at Georgia Tech just chose food over forgiveness. I explained to him sin, righteousness, judgment. You know the routine. Are you a good person? Using the law to bring about the knowledge of sin. But Jesus died for you, a sinner. He will save you. Has anything kinder ever happened to you? Ever? Well, if somebody would feed me, I'm kind of hungry right now. And he chose food. Let me just tell you, for whatever this is worth, I was instantly out of patience with him. If you've ever witnessed to somebody, you know that it is easier to be patient with somebody in the witness encounter than when you're listening. Come on, really. How many times have you heard me with somebody and you want to reach through the radio and smack the person? But I don't. That's the way it works. So normally, God provides for me a great deal of patience when I'm dealing with people in a witness encounter. Because you want them to get saved. You want God to be glorified. When this kid said that, I just went to, I'm done. Goodbye. I'm done. See ya. You've heard everything you need to know. And besides, if God is going to save you, he will get you to a Bible or to somebody who knows the gospel. I was just done. And I, the one who has not provided the salvation for him, I'm just the messenger. I was not the one who died for him when he said that he would rather have a sandwich than salvation. Wow. And what will God do to those who neglect so great a salvation? Wow. If I, a foolish mortal man, recognize the offensiveness of this fellow just saying no to salvation. Oh, what will God do with such a fool? Okay, all right, I'm going to do a foolish thing right now. I'm going to go approach those three who are going to get up and leave. You watch, they're going to get up and leave. Witnessing to three people is not an easy thing to do, but let's give it a go. Hey, have I talked to you before? You look kind of familiar. Can I talk to you now on the radio while you're sitting here?
Sure.
That'd be okay? What are you listening to on your, what is that?
Okay.
Let me have a listen. What is it?
All these things I've done by the Killers.
The Killers. Who are the Killers?
A band.
And are they killer? Sorry, I couldn't think of anything else. Hey, let me tell you what I'm doing out here, and then you can either tell me to go away or engage with me, okay? Either way. I'm asking people the question, if they could ask God one question, what would it be? You willing to answer that for me, Mr. 90s? One question for God, what is it?
I don't know. How big is your love?
How big is your love?
Truly, how big is it?
Isn't that a Bee Gees song? Sorry. All right, what's the one question for God?
Oh, boy.
You ponder. I'll go back to Mr. Goo Goo Dolls for a second.
Okay.
Why would you ask the question, how deep is your love?
I don't know. You put me on the spot.
It's kind of an intriguing question, though. Because the assumption there is that God is loving. Is that what you think?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Huh. Is this getting awkward right now?
I don't know.
No. Do you think God is loving, or do you think he's a mean God?
Loving.
How do you know?
Just from my experience with God, from what I've read in the Bible.
So from the Christian perspective, you think he's loving?
I do think he's loving.
Do you think that God ever does something that is, I don't want to say not loving, but something that looks... Does he ever, for instance, punish somebody? What's that? Wait a second. Hold on. We've got a third party. I'm sorry. What did you say, young man?
Hebrews 12.
Hebrews 12. Yeah. Help me out.
God disciplines those he loves. Let's see. Let me start at the beginning. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as son. My son, do not
make light of the Lord's
discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, for the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he rebukes everyone he accepts as a son.
Does God accept everyone as his son?
I think he is willing to accept anyone who will accept him as their him. As
you sound like a politician. Okay, that guy in the blue shirt over there, he is a Buddhist and a good one. Does God accept him?
I believe that what Jesus said, that he's the only way to the Father.
So that means that he's not on the right way?
Correct.
Okay. Now, you were quoting a pretty long Bible verse, and you guys were able to jump in. How is it that you've memorized something so long? Are you in a cult together, in a church together? What's the deal?
We're in a campus organization, Christian organization together.
Okay. I'm a Buddhist. All right? Tell me, give me your best shot. Why should I consider Christianity? What's in it for me? Don't be shy. I won't be offended. Give it to me. Give me your best.
I mean, God created the world, created us to have a relationship with him. And then Adam sinned. And through Adam, we've all sinned.
Have I sinned?
Everyone's sinned.
What is a sin?
What is a sin? Falling short of the perfection of God.
All right. So perfection, I think I'm a pretty good guy. I have paid my taxes, and I don't beat my children. Am I good to go?
No.
What have I done wrong?
God is infinitely perfect. So
what have I done wrong?
Done wrong?
No.
I mean, if you even tell the smallest lie, you know, steal a piece of candy, anything.
So the Ten Commandments.
That's a pretty simple metric.
All right.
Definitely.
So you're suggesting I've lied and stolen, and what should happen to me? I still think I'm a pretty good guy. What's God going to do with me when I die?
I mean, the punishment for rejecting God is hell.
Okay, I think that's your truth. I have a different truth, so that does not affect me. It's not going to happen to me.
Now we're getting into the question of absolute truth. I mean, if...
Do you think you're absolutely right?
Do I think that I'm absolutely right?
Yep.
No.
You don't?
I think that God is absolutely right.
But are you absolutely right about this understanding you have about God? That Jesus is God and he's the Savior?
To the best of my abilities, I believe so.
Okay. So could I make the statement, Buddhists are wrong, and you would agree with me?
I haven't thought about that much.
Okay. So Jesus is probably the way, or at least he is for you, but not for sure. Right? What do I need to do to be forgiven by God? Young lady, what do I need to do?
To be forgiven by God? Just believe that Jesus is the way, that he has died for your sins, and accept him as a Savior.
Okay. Is that correct, young man?
I'd say so, yeah.
All right. So do you think, beyond the shadow of a doubt, your eternity is secure and you're going to heaven?
Sure.
Yes? Certainly certain or kind of certain?
Sure.
Yes? No? Yes, sort of, maybe, kind of. And what about you?
I would say yes, and if I'm wrong, then I still feel like I've lived the best life I can live on this earth.
So if God judged you, if it turns out to be a different God, you're in pretty good shape because you've been pretty good.
I don't think it has to do with good. I mean, I trust God that what he thinks is the best way is how he's going to handle that. I mean, I can't say for certain that everything that I believe is absolutely true, but I do trust God to make those decisions and not me.
All right. Hey, I appreciate the chat. Thanks very much, y'all. All right, see ya. Goodbye. See ya, young man. Thanks for the chat. Huh. That was fascinating, wasn't it? Okay, we're not going to get into judging their faith and their testimony. Let's just not try to pick that apart for the moment. Even kids like this who memorize Bible verses, who have a pretty good grasp of things, isn't it interesting that their fear of being exclusive of making sure that they're not being intolerant almost has them scared to say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Even the best of them growing up in church can be intimidated by this postmodern culture. It's Witness Wednesday. We're at Georgia Tech. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.